Welcome to Garden Talk. I'm Boston Christopher, and I'm joined by Darren Snyder. And this week, we are talking seaweed. Gunath Chi, Shat Yigidi, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to see you again. Darren, Wasiyati, how are you today?
Thank you, Boston. Great to be here.
Okay, so this week on Garden Talk, we are going to be talking about seaweed and gathering, processing, and applying seaweed for your fertile gardens. Can I start first with what is a fertile garden?
All right. That's a good question. So usually when we talk about fertility with a garden, we're talking about the soil. We're talking about a living soil. And our goal is to have as much bacteria and fungi and invertebrates all working their way in there, eating things, eating each other, and excreting and making a place that is really a good place for the for them to be living, so that they can the plants can then uptake from what they from their life in the soil.
Okay.
And so a fertile soil is a living soil, and so seaweed is really instrumental with that, and we are very fortunate to have plenty of it around our parts.
Nice. Okay. So how does it play into why would we use seaweed in our fertile garden?
On kind of the science side of things, it provides micronutrients. Plants require 17 nutrients that we know of in order to grow well. Some of them they need large quantities, some of them they need very small quantities. And salts are very often how these transport from the plant sources to the animals and then back to the plants. And so when you think about kelp and you think about the ocean, you think about salts. And there are very many, many different salts, not just NaCl or sodium chloride, but many of the magnesium and potassium and other really important nutrients are within the plant. And so potassium is actually one of what we call the macronutrients. When you look at a fertilizer bag, if people are gardening and they see those three numbers, it's the N for the nitrogen and the P for the phosphorus and the K for the potassium, NPK, those three numbers on every fertilizer bag. So we're actually getting a good bit of potassium when we're adding the kelp to our gardens.
Okay. And so I guess gathering, as we can talk with gathering, like how do we get this kelp? How do we get the seaweed? Where do we get it from?
Yeah, so it's shorelines and where it's been washed up naturally. We're never picking them off of rocks that where they're attached and obviously growing and anchored. Instead, you know, our tides and our currents and everything really, they end up tearing off primarily the fucus or bladderwrack, the popweed. And you see that piled up along the shoreline. Sometimes they'll be mixed in with bull kelp and other debris. But you gather all that stuff up from those windrow piles. You can kind of, as you get into this, you can find different places that it deposits more or less and when, according to the tides and everything. But you can gather it up at any point. And I like to fill it with fill 5-gallon buckets. You don't have to fill it all the way up, or you can. And you carry one on each side, and you can go up and down the beach and fill them up pretty quickly if you find a place where there's a lot of it.
When you said you don't want to take it off of a rock, is it because it's at that point, is there a difference between it being on the beach, let's say, or on the ground and being on the rock? Is it living when it's on the rock and it's not when it's on the ground?
Well, they are anchored and they have what are called holdfasts.
Okay.
And so it's a root-like structure, but it's not absorbing nutrients. It's just holding on to something. So they don't just, they're not pelagic. They don't just go all over willy-nilly. Once they're torn free, then it may be a living plant still. Many times they are, but they're certainly on their way to just being washed up on the shoreline and becoming part of the land environment, or just being disintegrating into the water. But that's our chance to get them.
Is it better to, I mean, I guess I'm kind of answering my own question here, but getting this naturally, gathering this kelp, this seaweed, is better than like pre-bought.
Well, yeah, you can buy products, and they are that have been processed and mostly just dried and ground up into a powder form. Mm. There are some liquid forms, and you can buy that, and it's very convenient. And there's a product, I'm not endorsing it, but people may have heard of MaxiCrop, but that's been around for years, and people will even do foliar applications. They'll spray it on their plants. And it's been found to be really efficacious. And when we're finding it ourselves, it's just so many more times more of it that we can get. And it's obviously just the only price is your labor.
I guess it depends on, how far into the process of being a gardener you are, maybe, right? Like at the beginning, maybe you don't add that, you do the pre-bought or something. But then I know gardeners like to get in there, right, and make it happen. So like doing this gathering of this kelp is probably really fun part of the process.
If you're going to be a gardener in Southeast Alaska, it takes commitment and of some degree or another. And yeah. It's a really a gift that we have this natural resource here, and the amount of work that it requires is very little compared to the benefit. So I recommend everybody doing it.
Everybody do it, yeah.
And it's pretty easy to do, and I would and when you're gathering it, you then have your buckets of seaweed, and then you have a few different things you could do with it. I could share.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. What's the processing part of this?
Yeah, so you can add water and let it sit for a while and create kind of a tea, which you would then pour on directly onto the soil around your plants. You can use a bubbler if you want to kind of take it a little bit of another step. Compost teas and manure teas and seaweed tea. If you leave it in a bucket, just like any bucket of greens, just using regular weeds and filling it up with water is also something that you could just make a plant tea out of. Mm. But seaweed is special because it does have so many nutrients. When you think about nutritionally as we eat it, and we know that seaweed is very highly nutritious, it's the same thing for all those bacteria, especially in the soil. And so you can make a tea with it. You can also just mix it directly into the soil. I suggest if you do that you do it in the fall so that they can break down and become part of the soil and feed the organisms over the winter. And otherwise, it's kind of clumpy, and especially if you're trying to plant seeds directly into it. I've made that mistake a few times where it's like, I really want to get that seaweed in there, but then it ends up, kind of making voids that they fall into.
Nice. Okay. And that's part of the last step here, the applying in terms of using it. Like you said, you can use that tea, you can plant it in the ground. Mm-hmm. Are there other things that you want to do when you're applying this in terms of using the seaweed?
So I've described so far, making the tea and then incorporating it into the soil. Mm-hmm. Another little bit of processing, and then I'll get into some of the final application, is that if you can get beautiful days like we have today, the sunny days, and some of the seaweed is drying, then it loses a lot of its water. It makes it, for one, a lot easier to carry a lot more, and you can like jam it into the bucket and break it and crumble it, and that crumbling makes it that much faster that it's going to break down in your garden or what have you. So kind of having that dry seaweed is actually kind of one step towards being an easier product to deal with, as long as it can stay dry. But as soon as it gets rained on, then it all expands again too. So you just have to kind of learn how to manage it. But other than incorporating it into the soil and feeding all those organisms there, one of our common things is to use it as a mulch. So a mulch is anything that we put on the surface of the soil. And it can be bark, it could be plastics, it could be what have you. And it has multiple functions. In this case, the function of a seaweed mulch is that it is providing nutrients as it breaks down and as the rain comes down and washes the nutrients down. It's providing excellent food for those organisms. It's also, depending on the thickness, can suppress weeds like other mulches because the weed seeds are not being exposed to the soil and neither are their sprouted leaves. And then also in the wintertime, those thicker mulches using seaweed to do so acts as a blanket. And so there's less of this freeze and thaw effect that we are subject to here in our gardens. It keeps it from getting too cold or warmed up. And so it forms kind of a blanket. So that mulching.
I love that. That's all about seaweed on this episode of Garden Talk. Gunath Cheesh, Darren Snyder, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thanks, Boston. Take care.